SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today, Craig Mish, once again, back in the house along with Davis Maddock. Thanks again to Joe Pizzapia for sitting in the first hour for me on the show. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid, at Craig Mish, at Davis Maddock. Lots to cover in this hour of the show. Jackie Bradley Jr. makes it official, signing his contract with the Brewers. Had some interesting things to say about leaving Boston and going to Milwaukee. We have our draft going on right now, the Raz Bowl, where it looks like by the end of the show, we'll all have four picks. I know that Davis has three. I have three. Our producer, Brett Levy, has three as well. And Davis looks like he's going all in on Kansas City. But I got to tell you, Davis, the future looks bright after me seeing that highlight of Bobby Witt Jr. hit that home run yesterday. It looked like the longest home run in all of spring training this year.
He's coming up, man. He's gonna force their hand. He is going to play so well in spring training, and they're going to look at Nicky Lopez hitting bloopers and striking out in spring training. And they're going to be like, what are we even doing here? We got Bobby Witt Jr. who's flashing with the glove, hitting dingers, stealing bases. What are we doing with Nicky Lopez? Let's get Bobby Witt Jr. up. I mean, I'm wish casting a little bit here, but a lineup that features Witt, Salvador Perez, Alberto Mondesi, Jorge Soler, Andrew Benintendi, Edward Olivares. I mean, look, that's a lineup that can score some runs. The pitching's still going to be terrible, but that lineup could score some runs. So I want Bobby Witt up sooner rather than later.
Well, hopefully after that service time issue goes away. There's no way he's coming up in April again with the amount of talent that kid has. They got to get that extra year. So 3 weeks in, though, I wouldn't put it past Kansas City to do it. Let's look at our headlines here. On this March the 9th, 2021, Dak Prescott, as you heard earlier in the show, signs a new four-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Fantasy reality, we had him being the highest paid quarterback annual salary of the league, and he got it. Congrats. Spring training starting now. 14 games are currently underway. Also, the ACC tournament is going on now, starting this week. So looking forward to catching some good games there. The Zags will take on BYU tonight in the WCC championship game. I feel like I've been saying Gonzaga takes on BYU in the West Coast Championship, Davis, for the past 20 years, honestly. Like, has anybody outside of these two teams played for that conference championship? Probably I should have looked into that before we started the show today, but I feel like it is always Gonzaga and BYU. I suppose maybe Utah. Maybe I'm thinking Utah maybe may have played Gonzaga, but these teams are always going at it in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, you are asking the wrong guy. You know, mid-major college basketball, not my area of expertise. I mean, it is great, as we talked about yesterday. It's just awesome to, you know, be sitting there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We got the show done. I've got my workout in. I'm like, oh, you know, I'll throw on some college basketball. That is, it is extremely nice. But in terms of, you know, the history of the Mid-Atlantic Conference or the Summit League, my deep historical knowledge of those college basketball conferences is definitely going to be lacking.
Yeah, this is the first year ever that I've been disengaged from college basketball. Normally, I am like all in on January, February, and March, but just for whatever reason, it just got caught up to me this year. Regardless of that, it just hit me in my head that Utah's now in the Pac-12 and not in the WCC. But regardless of that, when Utah was, I believe that they used to play Gonzaga a lot. So we'll start there on the show today. The conference championship games, we have our Elon versus Drexel at 7 p.m. Eastern. Mount St. Mary is going to take on Bryan tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. Bryan 5.5 over on FanDuel. In the Horizon, Oakland takes on Cleveland State. Cleveland State is -2. Summit League, Oral Roberts, North Dakota State, -1.5. And that game is 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. And then, as we mentioned, BYU will take on the Zags. They're 13-point favorites, probably should be more than that. We'll get that covered for you tonight, by the way, on In-Game Live as well. As far as other things that are happening in sports, really interesting conversation to have. Zach Britton, who basically is, you know, come out and said that he had COVID in January and got hit really hard with it, didn't feel well, and now today is getting an MRI, had some issues in his throwing arm, Davis. And so this is an injury that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And I don't know that it's a huge fantasy relevant conversation for March the 9th, but it could be very relevant in 3 days from now, because clearly he is Chapman's backup and has gotten opportunities with Chapman out.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good in the past. We know, I mean, we've talked about on the show a bunch already, the volatility in relief pitchers in Major League Baseball. Aroldis Chapman, if he gets a blister on his thumb, the Yankees are going to win a ton of games. You're going to want whoever is up next. So those elite setup guys are super valuable. You and I were in this Rad Slam League right now where we're probably going to have to be drafting some relief pitchers. It's a 42-round draft, and I don't even know who the next guy would be for the New York Yankees. But if Zach Britton, if this is a legit issue as a result of the MRI and he has to go on the IL, whoever the next guy up for the Yankees is, I mean, that's going to be a draftable guy in a lot of fantasy baseball formats.
Yeah, not draftable, drafted in every league. You're 100% right. Look, if Kenley Jansen's backup is getting drafted, Chapman's is getting drafted too. It's one of the best teams in baseball. Has to be done. All right, so that's where we're off and running here on the second hour of the show today. Coming up next, we'll hear from Jackie Bradley Jr., now of the Milwaukee Brewers. And also, what is the plan for the Chicago White Sox and Nick Madrigal in 2021, the rookie who looks like he could end up being a star in the big leagues? Tony La Russa had some interesting things to say about him and kind of the way that he has approached some of the plate discipline. So we'll hit on that as well. Also, a little bit later in the show, as Davis mentioned, the Raz Slam Draft, which is an NFBC format, which you can play anytime you want, even without us. We're going to go over our first three picks, each of us here. Davis's first three, my first three, and our producer, Brett Levy, also made his first three picks as well. So we'll hit on that too. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, and our second hour is underway. So make sure you stay for the whole thing, because we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sports Grid Network.
As I'm sure most of you are getting ready for your 2021 fantasy baseball drafts, there's a lot of news happening every day, so we're keeping an eye on that for sure. Jonathan Hernandez, who's arguably the Texas Rangers' top pitching prospect, expected to be in their rotation, reportedly has a sprained UCL, which is going to put him out a minimum of 2 months for the 2021 season. Probably their second or third starter to open up the year, and no longer there. So the Rangers already really thin. Even with their entire team, just got a little bit thinner today. So we'll see what the fallout is from that, maybe who jumps into the Rangers rotation, or maybe they sign somebody that's still a free agent out there. All right, well, free agency was definitely interesting for Jackie Bradley Jr. Essentially, as we sit here on March the 9th, he was the last free agent to sign as of right now, and of course spent many years in Boston, ended up winning a World Series, and lo and behold, Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, all gone from that World Series team on the Boston Red Sox. Bradley was asked yesterday by the Milwaukee media what it feels like to kind of put history aside and join a new club.
I've had some great memories. I've developed a lot of great relationships that I will never forget. It's one of those things when you've been with a organization for so long, those bonds, they don't go away. You're knowing, personnel, upper management, the players, obviously, their families. It's deep, and you start developing relationships with the community, the people that are around that helped you along the way and supported you throughout the goods, the bads, and you develop that that understanding and that respect for one another. And, you know, I'm thankful for it because it's helped me be the person who I am today.
Jackie Bradley Jr. is a great guy. A few years ago, Davis in spring training, he, sometimes you go over to players, you ask them to do interviews. And again, I'm in an awkward position here because these guys know a little bit about me that I'm going to be hammering fantasy questions at them. It's not always that comfortable. But Jackie Bradley Jr. gave me, I think, 15 minutes of his time a couple of years ago, went over his swing pass, some of the adjustments that he made. And it's just a really genuine, likable guy. And so for those guys, just like, I know that people don't share the same experiences as me, but like when we play this NFBC game, either or, if Jackie Bradley Jr.'s ADP is like super close to somebody else, I know it's not a fantasy relevant conversation, but if I like a guy, I may end up doing it. It's probably not the smartest thing to do. And honestly, if I had a grand in the league, I probably wouldn't. But I do like this player a lot, and can't believe that a decade in Boston and winning a World Series and playing high. I mean, he moved Mookie Betts over from center field, actually put together a pretty decent year last year, Davis. But simply put, it's like you kind of don't know if last year's 60 games were just going to be like a part of a 60-game, 162-game season, because what he showed in that 60 spot is generally not what he has shown in the big leagues over 162.
So I agree with your assessment. The Jackie Bradley Jr., great guy, a world champion, right? A great player for the Red Sox. I do not love this signing for fantasy baseball. I agree with you that the 7.5, 283 batting average, that's not really what Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to be over the course of 162 games. But the primary reason why I don't love this signing is that I was ready to be drafting a bunch of Avisel Garcia, who lost some weight. You know, we're getting the best shape of his life stories from Avisel Garcia, 20-10 for the Rays in 2019. And that was when he was playing at like 240 pounds to 145 pounds. And he has, supposedly lost 20 pounds, getting trim, getting in shape. So, I think if the Brewers were set up to give him 500 plate appearances, he'd be like 22 home runs and 10 steals with a 270 batting average and hitting in that ballpark, obviously upside for even better than that. And, Avisel Garcia, a guy I love to draft in fantasy, Jackie Bradley Jr., who mostly does it with the glove, not so much. So, right. Good on Jackie Bradley Jr., nothing bad to say about him, but I'm a big Avisel Garcia guy.
Yeah, and hard to see the path that he would have had. The DH would have been perfect for him for sure. The other part of this, too, is Milwaukee's going to get their first look at somebody else in left field, right, Davis? I mean, Ryan Braun's been there forever, and he's like in a weird spot where he hasn't officially retired, but no one thinks he's coming back. So his career is probably over, but he hasn't like said anything, and I think Milwaukee just had to move on. What's really interesting here is that apparently Houston was deliberating between Jackie Bradley Jr. or Odorizzi. They didn't want to go over the luxury tax, so they had to pick one. And then when Framber Valdez got hurt, they opted for Odorizzi, and now Miles Straw probably gets that opportunity in center field. But Jackie Bradley in Houston was an absolutely perfect fit. Like, that would have been, put him in center, play him 162 games, but they didn't want to spend the dough, I guess, and they opted for Odorizzi, who now ended up doing his contract today. Okay, now over to the Chicago White Sox we go. We know about the big lineup that they have. Davis is a big Eloy Jimenez fan. Lewis Roberts getting drafted very high. Tim Anderson's an MVP candidate. The team is stacked from top to bottom, pretty much. One of the lesser-known names is Nick Madrigal, who stands to get not only a lot of playing time, but owning the second-base job. This is a very high-caliber player in college, and his path to the big leagues within 2 years is already in the big leagues. And the way that he kind of scrapes out at-bats has Tony La Russa thinking he's sort of like a throwback type guy.
I think he has an effect on everybody that way because, he's playing the game the right way. He puts the ball in play. And you're talking about the offensive side, same thing on defense. So, he has his own impact. I mean, I watch these games all the time, it's, how do you start a rally? A lousy single. You're happy. You get a guy on first base. Another single gets him to second or third. And one more single. So he's going to impact the game on his own, but there's no doubt him and, you know, Adam Eaton, guys that really worked the count, they could foul off a lot of pitches. You know, I mean, Tim is, he's a master of doing that as well. So is Abreu. So, you know, we should be a club that, unless the pitcher is razor sharp, we're going to have to make, we'll make them work.
Davis, you're not getting Madrigal at any discount in fantasy, and the NFBC, his ADP is 192. And look, this is, I mean, he was phenomenal in his brief stint last year with the White Sox. And because of that, and because how good the team is, you're just simply not going to get him anywhere near the 23rd or 24th round, which is, I'm sure, what people thought would be in draft season. But White Sox are built to win right now, and you're going to have to make a key decision when he's staring at you on the board, because someone inevitably, Davis, is probably going to like him more than me. You know, someone is going to take that shot.
So Nick Madrigal has been a professional baseball player in the Chicago White Sox organization since 2018. So he's played about 2.5 full seasons now as a professional baseball player. He has accumulated 4 home runs in the major and minor leagues since that point. Love Nick Madrigal. You know, think it's cool that he never strikes out, you know, a 6% strikeout rate, even lower than that. In the minors, doesn't take a ton of walks either. He just basically has like the fastest hands in baseball. I cannot draft a guy who's not going to hit any home runs. Like, you, there's a real chance he gets 600 plate appearances and does not hit a single home run. I mean, you can't do that in the current environment of baseball. So, you know, go with God, Nick Madrigal drafters, but I will not be one of them.
Let's take a look at the ADP, and Davis, you can rank these real quick before we go to the break here. Segura's 185, Cronenworth, Rookie of the Year, 186, Madrigal, 192, Taylor of the Dodgers, 216. You have Madrigal last year among these?
I'd probably not last. I would probably take him over Cronenworth because I think Cronenworth gets in a playing time crunch. And Segura with his home runs, that's who I want.
All right. We'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming back, our producer Brett Levy's in this with us. The Raz Slam. See who Brett's got on his team, Davis's team, mine as well. Our picks are in. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back, Craig Mitch, Davis Maddock, Brett Levy, to talk a little fantasy baseball here in our quick 15-minute segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. We're all together in the same fantasy league here in 2021. This is a slow draft called the Raz Slam. For those of you who are interested, you can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mitch or follow Davis at Davis Maddock. Brett claims to have, they claim Brett has no Twitter, but he does. I think it's locked or something like that. But it was funny. They put out all the participants, Davis, and then they just put Brett's name in there because they couldn't find his Twitter. My bad on that. But we're all in the same league and we're all chasing the same title here. There's no money involved, I don't think, unless we decide the three of us to get together and do this before the season starts. But Davis, you have, I know you have 4 picks in the book, but let's go through the first 3 picks that you made in the Raz Slam, and let's break it down.
Well, I made a huge error to begin with. I did not check the scoring that closely before we started. I knew that it was a best ball points format, 42 rounds, 14 starting hitters, 9 starting pitchers. What I didn't realize, though, is just how juiced up the hitting points are. So I took Jacob DeGrom with the 3rd overall pick, knowing that I did not want to take pitchers in the middle rounds at all, not really realizing how many points I was giving up by taking Jacob deGrom. Now, I feel very good about my other two picks, Eloy Jimenez in the second round, Alberto Mondesi in the third round. I told you last week when you did your auction, you absolutely have to get Eloy. I definitely made sure to get Eloy in this draft, definitely made sure to get my guy, Alberto Mondesi. So I feel decent about my start, and I guess if I want to look on the bright side, I took deGrom, so I probably am good on pitching still here for a while. You know, don't feel the need to load up on the fifth, sixth round style starting pitchers. You know, have my home run upside with Eloy, have my big explosion weeks with Mondesi. So I feel decent about my start, but really wish I could go back in time and take Trout over deGrom.
Yeah, and look, I think that's part of it, understanding the format, understanding, you know, sort of the scoring with it. But I got to tell you, I felt good in so far through three picks. I took two pitchers also, so that was kind of my plan going in, not with a first pick, but I wanted to get two pitchers. Now you're going to see me dive away and go all hitting probably for the next six or seven rounds. But here's who I got in my first three picks. Juan Soto of the Washington Nationals, and then Yu Darvish, who now I have in two leagues. And boy, Aaron Nola's, you know what happened here, Davis, is that I was sitting there on the board and, you know, surfing through who I kind of wanted to pick, and I have my ideas. And then I saw that Nola's ADP was just so much higher than it, he should have went off the board like 10 picks higher, 50. And that's not really why I make a pick. But then I started, you know, kind of talking myself into it, like, man, like, I'm not going to be able to take a shot at this guy if I don't try again. And I know he's going to throw a lot of innings. So I went with Aaron Nola there. So I got Juan Soto, Yu Darvish, Aaron Nola. Those are the first three that I have there. Now, furthermore, after you see this, Soto, Darvish, and Nola, let's turn it over to our producer, Brett Levy. So we have to have some qualifiers here, Brett, before we begin this conversation. And question number one, are you an active fantasy baseball player? I think we need to let the audience know that to begin with. Like, have you been playing fantasy baseball for 5, 10 minutes, years? You're very busy, I know, in the NBA and now producing the show. So is this the, like, give us a little background on this, because I would hate to think that I've thrown you under the bus here in making you join this draft.
No, I've been playing a little fantasy baseball, Craig. In the NBA, guys like to play fantasy football, fantasy baseball. They like to talk a lot of smack. So I've played. This is definitely probably the most competitive league I've played in, but I think I'm doing okay. I was helped out by having the second pick, so that allowed me to get a superstar in Acuña. And I think I did okay here with Giolito and Albies as well. Albies is a guy, personally, I just love watching play baseball. I think he's a lot of excitement. He steals bases. He has some pop in his bat. He hits for a high average. So my guys are pretty good, and I'm a big fan of what we have.
All right, so let's take a look at it here. Brett's first pick is Ronald Acuña Jr., second overall. Lucas Giolito, the Chicago White Sox. He is going to be the ace, hypothetically speaking, 30 starts, 200 innings, you would guess. And then Ozzie Albies. So Brett makes it easy, at least when he's watching baseball. He knows if the Braves have 7 runs, in all likelihood, he's having a good day. That's the fun part of fantasy if you end up doing that. Davis, what's your breakdown here? As far as this is concerned, look, Acuña is just a rock solid pick. I mean, it's like doing analysis on the second pick in a fantasy draft is sort of like telling something that people know already. But what do you make of the other two guys? What do you make of Lucas Giolito? Is he on your board at all? And then Ozzie Albies at second base for him this year.
Yeah, I mean, once I understood the rules, I listened to a podcast that our friends over at Razzball did where they went into it a little bit more in depth. I checked some of the projections that our friend Derek Cardi does. I ran them through the point scoring system for the Raz Slam. So basically for the uninitiated, you get an insane amount of points for hitting. You get 6 points for a steal, 5 points for a home run, 4 points for a hit, but minus 1 point for an at bat. So that kind of tails off, you know, some of the insane points that hitters could get. Obviously, without that minus one, you guys be scoring, you know, 1,200 points or whatever. Then pitchers get 8 points for a win, 1 point for a strikeout, minus 1 point for a hit allowed, minus 1 point for an earned run, and then 1 point for an inning pitch. So kind of the way it looked for me was that the high-end pitchers are going to get about 450 points, and the high-end hitters are going to be like 800 to 750 points. So that, for me, really led me towards wanting guys who are going to rack up the runs, runs, RBIs, and home runs. Those look like the most repeatable categories. So Giolito in the second round, I probably would not have done. But I think the Albies in the third looks really good because he'll probably get into that leadoff spot for the Braves. And, you know, we think the Braves are going to be close to the best offense in the National League. The Dodgers will probably be a little bit better than them. It'll be pretty close. And Albies looks like a guy to me that could way out earn where Brett drafted him.
Brett, I don't know. Davis kind of tore you apart there a little bit. I don't feel great about the conversation, but, you know, I guess that's part of it. And the thing is that, you know, what's always available for the two of you and me is side bets here on the show. And it's the one thing that we can actually talk about here on Sports Grid, where who cares? No one's going to yell at us and say, you can't bet money on the air. Like, yes, we absolutely can. So maybe at the end of the draft, the three of us, Brett, will get together and throw a few bucks in the pot, see who ends up winning it, right? Fair enough.
Yeah, sounds good to me. And that's okay that he's not a Giolito fan, you know. I wouldn't have taken Alberto Mondesi in the third, so we all have our...
Got to take our guys, little, Brett. We got to take our guys.
Little, yeah, exactly. So we all have our little things. It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, look, nice dig, Brett, for you for the next one. Yeah. I'll whisper it in your ear. Just say anybody that takes two Royals in the first four picks has no shot. You know, there you go.
Well,
you
know, I messed up, right? I'm trashing on myself because not only did I take a pitcher early, I took a pitcher over Trout. I took a pitcher over Soto. So I was the one who really made the mistake of, you know, I took a guy who's going to score 400 fewer points than Juan Soto, all things said and done.
So when you ran these projections, Davis, and you've done a lot more work than I have on this, clearly, does it state essentially that the guys who steal are the ones? Like that's the deal?
So it's guys like Mondesi, Trey Turner, Trevor Story, guys who are going to lead off and get, you know, a fair amount of hits. They're pretty good. But the guys who really suffer in this are the speed only guys. So like, you know, your Billy Hamiltons or someone like Victor Robles, where a huge chunk of their roto value comes from steals and they're not even going to come close to hitting 300. Those guys really suffer in this scoring because you get so many points for hits, runs, RBIs. Yeah. So speed is good. But power and speed obviously is better because, like, you know, someone like Trevor Story is going to have weeks where he scores like 80 right. points in a single week because he racks up so many.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part about this is finding guys that do that, you know, hit the home runs and steal bases. It's just like gone completely. And it makes me wonder a little bit of guys that just steal later on in the draft, if they actually have some value as your like outfielder five or middle infielder, corner infielder, because of the 6-point differential there. That's kind of big. So something to keep an eye on as we go. And bottom line, Brett, I think that Brett has the next pick coming. We got to let Brett get back to producing the show here. But Brett will have the fourth round pick. And then what we'll do on tomorrow's show is picks 4, 5, and 6 from each of us. And then by the time we get to the end of the week, I think that we'll have a pretty good idea as to, you know, potentially where our teams stand for sure. So any players in particular, Davis, you're looking at coming up here? You want to tip your hand a little bit? I think you picked before me, right?
Yeah. What I am now looking to where we are in the draft now, kind of rounds 6, 7, 8, I will start to look back at starting pitching to see if there are any guys who are falling because of the way the scoring is set up. And then also I want to see how late Javi Baez goes, because I think he is a guy where he can hit 210 and it doesn't matter in this because he's going to steal and hit home runs.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not in on Javi Baez at all. I want you, Davis, as a project before opening day to go back and watch his at-bats last year. You'll be like, who is this guy? Like, if you didn't know his name was Baez on the back of the jersey, there was no chance you'd come close to taking this guy. I don't know what happened last year. All right, Fantasy Realities next. Stay on the grid. Don't go away. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today with you here on Sports Grid, Craig Mish and Davis Matic. And before we get to a little fantasy reality, I'm wondering, Davis, like, this is, you know, I mean, Dak Prescott Day, right? Like, this is a really, really big day. I know you're a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so I just want to quantify it by saying congratulations. I know that you've been waiting for this day. He's going to get paid a lot of money. He's going to be your quarterback. And as you mentioned, not having to see, you know, the previous quarterbacks that Dallas had, completely out the window now. So congratulations. All right, we'll get back to Davis in just a second. And of course, we got some fantasy reality coming up here in just a minute. Also, a reminder,
my college basketball coverage continues
all day long today and tonight here on Fantasy Sports Today. Davis, back to Dak Prescott. You were muted there for a sec. Congratulations. Again, I don't need to say that all over again. You heard me.
Yeah, I always find myself muted when we come back into our last break because I'm trying to shovel my face full of food as we're here to the last break. I'm getting to the point of needing some lunch, but I am feeling very happy, very jubilant about Dak Prescott signing with the Dallas Cowboys long term. At least 4 years of Dak locked in. Don't have to watch Andy Dalton. Don't have to watch them sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, Teddy Bridgewater. A lot of the different directions that they could have gone. Feeling very blessed that Dak Prescott is going to be in my life for at least the next 4 years.
All right, so let's knock it out here. Fantasy reality for the 9th of March, 2021. Let's get started. Dak Prescott signs the deal. Fantasy reality, Davis, he wins a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys.
So I know it's very hard for me to have these conversations and not sound like a giant homer, but I thought that we gave some level-headed analysis yesterday on the show with Trevor Lawrence where we said, you know, it seems unlikely. It seems more like a fantasy that Trevor Lawrence is going to win a Super Bowl as a member of the Jaguars. I think it is significantly easier to make these prognostications about a quarterback in the NFC because they, you know, in the NFC, the best quarterback is 43 years old and the second best quarterback is 36 years old. So there's kind of more of a path to teams being great in the NFC because they don't have to deal with Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, those guys. So I actually am, I'm feeling optimistic today. I'm going to say that it's a reality that the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, they figure things out with the salary cap. They work on the defense. And, you know, next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the Cowboys do win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott.
You know, it is crazy to me that Dallas is willing to spend any amount of money on any player, sign anyone, and yet they still can't get it done. It is just such a weird dynamic, I guess, you know, since it was, I guess, Barry Switzer was the last time they ended up winning the Super Bowl there with Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer. I'm honestly fantasy, man. Like they should have won one already. Like, they have had enough talent there. They can't even win a division. I'm sorry, Davis. I'm saying no. I'm saying fantasy. And the truth is that Jerry Jones is a fantastic owner. Again, willing to spend whatever he wants. Getting a new stadium there, which is fantastic. But I do think that some sort of football czar has to be brought in eventually for that to get done. I just don't think that Jerry and his sons are going to be able to assemble the correct players there. And it hasn't worked yet. So I'm going to say fantasy, but definitely having Dak there makes Dallas the best team in the division next year, I would think. That's for sure. All right, fantasy reality continues here on the show. Let's take a look at another question here. The average person read more books in 2020 than a normal year. And this is where we have data to back up the answer here, Davis. So we know that you have dove into some extra books here in 2020. Did others? Fantasy reality.
So this could go one of two ways. One, you could say, you know, people are at home, they're bored, you know, so the answer you'd think yes. But then the other hand, you'd say, okay, well, people aren't flying on airplanes where it's, you know, kind of inconvenient to stream. You got to pay for internet, you got to download stuff. They're not taking long car trips. And I know that I also, not only did I read more, I also watched like just a horrible amount of like bad TV, just way too much time to watch TV. I am going to say more. I'm going to say that this is a reality, but it would not surprise me to find out that the opposite is true. Like I really could see it going either way, but I'm going to think that people did read more in 2020.
Yeah, I'll say reality also, but I agree with you on the bad TV part. And I just don't even want to rethink that. It takes me back to me hosting this show with Joe Ranieri and us talking about Tiger King for weeks. Like, really, it was that bad. We had nothing to talk about except for what was on TV, longing for The Last Dance to come on. I remember just like waiting for that. It's just like, ugh, awful TV content memories. That's the best way that I could put that. But I would say the average person did read more books. I would not be in that category. I used to be a massive reader, and it's not something that I have done since I've had kids. But beyond that, I'll say yes. And I'll say I'm hopeful that that is the right answer, too. Do we have any data, by the way, on that, David, to back that up one way or the other? Any
we got it. While you throw the next one to me, I will see if we can find the answer.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to have that. Maybe we'll bring Pisa Pia back on. He seems to have all those answers. All right, Mac Jones, who clearly was fantastic at Alabama, had all of the talent around him, with great receivers, great running backs, two of which will be in the first round. Their offensive line, I don't think, was as good as it's been in the past, but still good enough to protect Mac Jones like it was to protect Jalen Hurts and Tua. But there seems to be pretty significant debate on who Mac Jones will be in the NFL. So, Davis, fantasy reality, Mac Jones will be a first-round pick in the upcoming NFL draft, fantasy or reality.
So first, let me start by saying that according to Mental Floss, 35% of users reported reading more and 14% they read significantly more. So I would think that you could say the average person did probably read more in 2020. So that's good news. And then on Mac Jones, I'm going to say this shouldn't be a reality, but it is going to be, because what we've seen now in the NFL is there's huge value in getting a quarterback on the first round the first round rookie contract, because that means you get them for that extra year, that fifth year, and you get an option to either keep or send them, as we're seeing with Trubisky here in year five. And we also know that teams are just thirsty for quarterbacks. I mean, the guys like Derek Carr, who would have had 15-year average careers in the 80s, you know, just average quarterbacks aren't getting it done. Teams are always ready to move on to the next guy. So that just widens the pool of available teams who would draft a quarterback in the first. I'm saying reality, Mac Jones does end up going in the first round. In fact, I think someone probably even trades up to end up selecting Mac Jones in the first round.
Yeah, I'm going to agree here. I'm going to say reality. And it's for basically all of the reasons that you illustrated here, more or less the latter as opposed to the former, which is we're just in this state now of the NFL where quarterback has become so important and nothing else matters. And it just, you know, it kind of bothers me that, like, for example, Seattle would even be willing to talk about trading a guy like Russell Wilson because of just how great I think that he is. But that just kind of tells you, like, Seattle trades Russell Wilson, they draft Mac Jones and start all over again. Yeah, I think it's going to happen for sure. I think someone's going to take a chance. It's always funny to me how out of the first-round quarterbacks 5-6 years ago, there were a lot of busts. Lately, they seem a little bit better for whatever reason. The guys are coming in the NFL and playing well right away. Maybe Mac Jones is that guy. I personally don't think he will be, and I think you have to have some mobility in this league to be now up at the top of those elite quarterbacks. I think the days of the Ryans and the Staffords and even the Bradys, I don't know. I think that's gone. I think you got to move around now in the league. I think that it has to be a case. Mac Jones cannot move at all. So he is a statue back there. And I think that the only chance he'll have to succeed is if he is built into a really good situation. One of the bottom five teams in the draft, meaning the good teams, right? Like, I don't even know who they would be, honestly, at the end, but it would have to, like, the Saints, right? Like, that would be a good situation for him to come to Davis. But, boy, if someone like Detroit was to move up to take Mac Jones or one of these teams in the middle somewhere, the Bears, oof, I think it would go really poorly for him and be a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I could see the Bears doing it. That would be so funny. Going from statue Nick Foles and erratic Mitch Trubisky to Mac Jones, who played with nothing but the best teammates. I mean, his teammates at Alabama. He is going to, when his college career is done, he is going to have thrown passes to four wide receivers who got drafted in the first round: Ruggs, Judy, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, who were at times in Mac Jones's college career all on the field at the same time. I mean, just really unbelievable stuff. I think my thing is, I totally agree with you. Not only is the NFL moving past these quarterbacks who can't move, but like the play callers themselves, guys who are offensive coordinators, they have whole systems designed around quarterbacks who have to move, right? Who quarterbacks who they call a lot of rollouts, they call loads of play action stuff. Quarterback option is like, you know, their go-to stuff in short yardage. And you take a play caller who spent the last 5 years calling play, you know, Brian Daboll, great example, right? Coached Josh Allen, coached Lamar Jackson, coached Colin Kaepernick. You move him into a head coaching job, you give him Mac Jones, or even give him Matt Ryan, give him Tom Brady, and he's going to have a very hard time changing his offense around, designing ways to be successful in all situations with a quarterback that can't move. And it's clearly a huge tactical advantage to have a quarterback who can move around in the pocket, who can run, who can create yards all on his own. And I just think as the years go on, we'll see way more guys like Trey Lance go inside the top 10 than guys like Mac Jones.
Yeah, I think that within 5 years, 25 quarterbacks will be mobile. I mean, it's just really where we're headed. And again, it doesn't start in the NFL. It starts in college. And Joe Burrow is a guy that can move. And Lawrence is a guy that can move. You mentioned Lance. He can move around. Jordan Love, even though he didn't play, like, he can move around. And I don't think it's going to go well for Mac Jones. I don't. I think unless he's in a phenomenal spot, like Indianapolis actually would have been a pretty good spot for him. They have a good offensive line. He doesn't really need to do all that much. But beyond that, could be rough. Could be rough for him for sure. You mentioned those are some really good names for sure. No doubt about that. Tomorrow's show, we continue our look at Major League Baseball win totals. I believe we'll look at the Houston Astros tomorrow. It looks like their team is now complete with signing Jake Odorizzi, maybe starting Miles Straw in center field. So we'll take a deep dive into what the Astros season could look like in 2021. Also, don't forget that we are covering all sports here on the show. As soon as the NBA kicks back in, I believe it is on Thursday night, we'll run our NBA DFS, and not only that, but our fantasy standouts back as well. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Davis, where are we headed for golf? Are we doing golf tomorrow? Is that a tournament tomorrow as well?
We are doing golf. We got a big golf tournament. We have the Players Championship, TPC Sawgrass, the fifth major, huge prize purse, the best golfers in the world all descending on TPC Sawgrass, the Jack Dye design course, the famous 17th Island Green. Great, great golf tournament, great TV, and feeling good about golf right now.
That's in Jacksonville, Mike Cardano's favorite city, right? Am I right about that? Jacksonville, Florida?
I think that's right, but I'm not an expert in Floridian geography.
Well, Jacksonville is not in Florida, so it doesn't matter. All right, we got our Sports Grid 60 coming up in about 2 minutes, so stay tuned to that, and then we will send you off here for the rest of your day on Sports Grid. Stay on the grid. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish and Davis Maddock. We've reached the point of our show where we take a look at a topic going on in sports or even away from sports. It's a 60-second commentary called the Sports Grid 60. And so let's turn it over to Davis Maddock before he makes his next fantasy pick and see what he's got on his mind today. Davis, what do you got?
So I've been really enjoying giving out, you know, media recommendations, TV shows, books. I have a podcast recommendation today. I've been diving back into Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, which I think is like a super popular podcast. I think a lot of people have listened to it, but I went way back and back into one he did in like 2012 about the downfall of the Roman Republic. And I gotta say, no one quite makes history come alive like Dan Carlin. So that is my media recommendation for today is Hardcore History by Dan Carlin.
Okay. Mine was going to be on Jersey Shore, my podcast recommended. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So I got something I want to talk about today. And look, I want to be very clear and upfront here on this is that obviously racism is horrible and anything associated with racism is out. I want to make sure that I mention that here at the top. But that being said, the other night on TV, you had dueling battles of two things that I could not care less about. One, the NBA All-Star Game, and two, the royal family. I've talked about this before on the show. I don't get it. I do not understand the infatuation with it. I want to say something. If I lived in England, I would be really compelled to find out what's going on there, but I don't. Like, what impact do they have here in the United States other than moving to the United States? And this is nothing against them personally. I hope they have lovely lives. But as far as the royal family is concerned and conversations, oh, I'm sure Oprah did a great job with the interview. I could care less. I'd rather watch the NBA slam dunk contest. How in the world is 17 million people interested in this? I must be the odd person on this category because I am just not into it at all. All right. Thank you to James, of course, at LTN, Brett, Danny, and Ryan producing our show. Thanks to Brett for coming on and giving us his fantasy team. For Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Make sure you stay on the grid the rest of the day. Have a good one.